that every eye will see. Hallelujah. Every eye will see. You know, if we start to see and hope arises in our heart, the darkness has to tremble and it has to flee in terror in front of each one of us. And God is not a respecter of persons. He loves you as much as he loves me, and he wants to use you. We're here this morning to receive the word so that it can flow through us and reach those that don't know. Hallelujah. I'm excited to preach. You know, I'm on the wrong page. Already half done. You don't want to do that. Maybe you do, but I don't. I want to talk. My subject is come and dine. And, you know, as I was trying to think of how to introduce this message, one thought came to me. God loves us. You know, it doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday or even this morning. God loves you unconditionally. It does not depend on what you do and what you don't do. You can have fellowship with God if you keep, you know, walking with him. But God loves you. He never changes from that love that he has for you. When I had all my foster kids, if you know anything about fostering, you know you live in a glass house. Because how you treat those kids better be exactly right, or they will have everybody after you. I mean, you have to be extremely careful what you do with those kids. You need to be extremely careful what you do with your own children. But when you have other people's kids in your house, you are very scrutinized. And I thought, if a lot of the things that we blame God for today, I would have done to my foster kids, I would not be standing here today. I'd be in jail. And yet we blame God for so many things that happen in our life, and we give mental assent, and then we start speaking it with our mouth, and it flows out of us. And we get the wrong thing. On the other hand, when I used to cook for so many people, I had 10 of us with mom and dad, 12, and then we'd invite lots of people home for dinner. They weren't fancy meals, but they were good basic meals. And I would like people to eat. But you know, if somebody came to my table and sat there looking at that food and said, oh, thank you for preparing this meal for me, it is so nice. So nice. Thank you. I'm really quite hungry. It's nice you made that food for me. Thank you. But didn't partake of that food, what would you do? I'd scream. I'd say, what's the matter with you? I made this good meal for you. You're hungry. You're thanking me for it. Why aren't you partaking of it? So I said all this to say this. God's will for your life is good. There's no darkness in him at all. He doesn't use any of the devil's tools to get to us. He doesn't teach us through circumstances or situations. Hopefully, we learn from our mistakes and we learn from situations. But God doesn't do them to us. We usually get there quite well on our own without any help from anybody else. Jesus, in his ministry, that's who we copy. That's who we follow. Jesus, in his ministry, is the will of God in action. Whatever Jesus did, he wants us to do. He said, even greater works than these shall you do. Because he was just one person. But the Holy Spirit is here now with us. Right here. He's here. And he wants to help us. So it's God's will in action. So we know what God's will is in most situations. There, you know, if you want to know who you to marry or what job to go to, you might have to go and pray and ask the Lord to give you direction. by the Holy Spirit to nudge you where you want to go. But Jesus has accomplished everything. When he said on the cross, "It is finished." What do you think was finished? Our redemption. Everything that we need. Our sins were forgiven. If we call upon him, we shall be saved. That means we are saved from sickness. We are saved from poverty. And we have eternal life. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When the devil looks at us, he doesn't see us. He sees Jesus. The only way he starts seeing who we are by the words we speak out of our mouth that are negative and that are against what God's word says. In 1 Peter 2, verse 24, it says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live unto righteousness." When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the old man dies, the new one comes alive. It says, "By whose stripes you were healed." A Bible school student once said that doesn't mean physical healing. That just means spiritual healing. We don't get healed spiritually. If we got healed spiritually, it would be the same spirit. We have a brand new spirit that cries out, "Daddy, Daddy," because God is our Father. So it's not spiritual healing. It is physical healing. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 4 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." That's our mind, our intellect. Our spirit blesses the Lord, but we have to let it out. And how does it come out? Through our soul. "Bless the Lord." It should go out through our body. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." What is within you? A born again, recreated, new spirit that's alive unto God, where healing resides, where redemption resides, where prosperity resides. It all resides in our spirit. It says, "And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." You know, we sometimes give mental assent to the benefits that belong to us. But then when it comes to talking to other people, we like to talk about all our aches and pains and our difficulties and everything else, thinking, and we do it sometimes very spiritually, we need you to grieve, but blah, 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 blah. You know, there's good sometimes to share your problems with someone if you know that they're going to operate in faith, and if the motive of your heart is for them to stand and believe with you, not just to sympathize. Who forgives all? Now, this is Old Testament. Who forgives all of your iniquities? We have no problem with that, do we? Well, sometimes we do. We get under condemnation. That's sin. You know that? Jesus paid for your sin. The only sin that makes us go to hell is that we don't acknowledge Jesus. Who heals all. Oh, but you don't know what I'm experiencing. All. But you don't know what's going on. All of your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. How does he do that? When you meditate, when you start worshiping and praising, acknowledging all the good things that are in you, you know, it satisfies your mouth, because if you start meditating on that, you start thinking on that, you know what? That's what's going to come out of your mouth. But if you're thinking about all the impossibilities that are in your life, you know what? Eventually, when your guard is down, that's what's going to come out. And that brings death, not life. And this one I like. I think Martha and John and Harold and Bethel like it too. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. I'll take that one. Hallelujah. I like my youth renewed. I like to be able to go, 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 go. Galatians 3:13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abram might come upon the Gentiles, that's us, in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The curse is in three parts: poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. The blessing in Deuteronomy 28 is in three parts as well. It is financial blessing, physical blessing, and spiritual blessing. You know, it's a long chapter, and it's got all kinds of blessings in there, and it's all kind of curses, but that's what it comes down to. Poverty, sickness, and second death is a curse. Blessing, financial blessing, physical blessing, and spiritual blessing is the blessing. You can have it all. It belongs to you. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation. That's God's plan for you. A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. His own special people. Now in some versions it says peculiar. And you know what? If we really stand on the word of God and believe the word of God and speak about what the word of God says, people will think you're peculiar. You know, it just is that way. Even in church, people will think you're peculiar. You know, they don't want to hear that. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you. Now, look at, you're called out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what he wants for us. That's his plan for our life. If this is true, why are we living so far below what God wants for us? I'll tell you, one of the biggest reasons is the traditions of men have made the word of God. That's Matthew 15, verse 6. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your traditions. You know, tradition, if you listen to radio, Christian radio at all, you hear more different theologies than what you would get. You would think that God is schizophrenic, because God does this, another one God does that, and it all sounds very, very spiritual. It really does. But it's not. God wants a good life. He wants us to shine so brightly when we leave this place that we're so full and so excited about what God can do, that the light just radiates from us and we cannot but help but talk about the goodness of God. But you know, sadly enough, a lot of times we leave this place and go to our daily task and we talk no different than the guy who doesn't know anything. We live and we complain. And you know, a lot of our prayers are nothing but complaining to God. It's whining. Are you really expecting God to hear you? He's already done it. Remember the cross. It is finished. He's done everything for your healing. He's done everything for your provision. He's done everything for your spiritual life. All you have to do is at that dinner table, partake of it. Eat it. Receive it. And start acting like you've received it. That's the hard part. We like the sympathy of people more than we want the word of God to operate in our life. We are infiltrated by theology and what people have said. well, this can't be true, because, you know, my Aunt Susie was a wonderful Christian, and she prayed, and she died. This person was a wonderful Christian, and they got sick, and they died. We're not saying there's no sickness out there, but we know who it, the deliverer is, and we need to trust him with our life and with our body. One of the things is we read the Bible with preconceived notions of what it says, because we have been so indoctrinated by what the world says, or even what Christians, other Christians say, that we don't read the Word of God. We don't hear what we read. Don't hear it. We just read it and we say, oh, that's nice. I had that with this scripture, Matthew 13:15, this week. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. And their eyes, listen to this, their eyes they have closed. They, you have closed. They, I have closed. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, so that I should heal them. So in other words, if we open up our spiritual eyes, if we open up our spiritual ears and say, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, open up our eyes, open up our ears, open up our heart, so that we can truly receive what the Word of God says, so that I can be healed. I can prosper. I can walk in victory, not in condemnation, because my eyes are open. I haven't closed my eyes to what you say. Lord, wipe my mind clean from everything that I've heard, and teach me by your Holy Spirit to hear what thus saith the Lord. We have a troublemaker. He's a liar. The Bible says in John 8, when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. He is a liar. And the only power that he has over you is deception. Because he did the same thing with Jesus. He kept saying to him, if you are the Son of God, if you are. Is that, you know, maybe you're not. How do you know you are? If you are the Son of God, you are a son of God. If you are the Son of God, you say, yeah, praise God, I am the Son of God. Hallelujah. And the inheritance belongs to me because I'm his child. I'm his beloved child. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not, he's not doing the temptation. Now listen to this, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. And you say, well, I've been tempted before beyond what I'm able. No. What happens then is, but with the temptation, he will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. What is that way of escape? Jesus. His grace. His grace. Reach out for it. Grab a hold of it. If you're in a terrible position, grab a hold of the grace of God. Jesus is there pouring out his grace. All you have to do is grab it and hold on to it. Now, I'm going to turn to Genesis 1:3, verse 1. My Bible's falling apart. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Has God really said? Don't you notice he hasn't changed in 2,000 years? Has God really said that he wants to heal you? Has God really said he wants your spiritual eyes to be open? Has God really said he wants your spiritual ears open so you can hear? Has God really said he wants to prosper? Has he said it? You know, you're a little ridiculous. You're a little fanatic. People will think you're nuts, so you better not say this stuff. Just think it. No, start speaking the word of God. That is our weapon. I want you to look. This is a little rabbit trail. In Genesis 1, verse 26, God says this. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle. Now listen to this. And over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. That creepy serpent! Why did Eve listen to him? He's a creep. They had dominion over him. Why did they listen to him? Jesus, when he was tempted by the devil, God doesn't tempt, the devil tempts. He continually came back with, it is written. It is written. And you know, the devil used scripture to get him to tempt him. The devil knows the Bible better than you do. And he used the Bible to try and trick you into starting to think the wrong thing. We are to compare scripture with scripture so that we know what God's word says. James 4, 6 to 8 says, but he gives more grace. I'll tell you, that grace is something that is absolutely incredible. I know when Ralph passed away, the night, that first night, I woke up and I was desperate. I'd done everything together with him for the 40 years. We didn't hardly do anything without each other. And I cried out to God. I said, God, I can't do this on my own. I need you. And what came was the grace of God. But I had to grab a hold of that grace. I had to decide that I was going to grab the grace and not have a pity party there, but I was going to rejoice because he had gone home to his reward. And where I'm here left to do a job. So, you know, it's the grace of God. I felt absolutely, I can overcome anything because of the grace of God. And it's available to all of us. It's not just for me. It's not just when you're facing death. It's in every situation. God wants to pour out his grace and then grab a hold of it instead of turning and stirring your little pot of misery. Start praising the Lord. And you say, well, it'd be a lie. No, it isn't a lie. Because we will remember all the benefits to us. Healing is in our spirit, man. And we need to get it out of our spirit to manifest into our bodies. And then all the same thing for everything else. It says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. And this is the absolute cleanser. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, one good way to get the devil to start fleeing is to start praising the Lord. Because the reason he fell was because he was jealous of the glory Jesus was getting or God was getting. And so he fell because of pride. I am the greatest. Have you ever been around a person that's totally conceited and you start talking about somebody who seemed insignificant, but what a wonderful job they're doing? You know, they don't hang around too long. They disappear because they don't want to hear that somebody else is good. Well, you know, the devil is no different. You know, he can't do anything except we let him. If he puts a thought in our mind, we don't have to meditate on that thought. We can cancel it out by the promise of God. You're feeling sick. I am so thankful that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. You are so poor. You're going to go down. I know my God supplies all of my needs according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God is able. We are children of light and not of darkness. So let us demonstrate the word in our life. Let it flow through us to a world that needs answers. Most of the time we're looking just as lost as the world. We have the answer, people. Open up your eyes. Open up your ears to the word of God. We have the answer. Jesus is the answer to a lost and dying world. Show some exuberance. Show some joy. Instead of walking around whining and complaining and being down all the time, start rejoicing in the Lord and resist the devil, and he has to flee. We are on a mission here, and it is necessary for our souls to prosper. What are you doing about it? How much TV or movies do you watch compared to reading or studying what God's word says, or reading books about God's word? What are you, how much percentage-wise? Someone is waiting for you to lay hands on them and believe the Lord for a healing for them. Are you ready? Can you believe God that you lay hands on people and see them recover? Those hands are normal hands. But God says, I can lay those hands on sick people and I can see them get well. Wow! Isn't that exciting? So go out, look for some people to lay your hands on and speak healing to them. You say, well, yeah, but I've got problems in my own body. That's why you need to do it even more. Go pray for them. Lay your hands on them. You say, yeah, but if they die, I've had that lots of times. In fact, one time Ralph and me sat and had a pity party. We're not going to pray for anybody anymore. There, you call Ralph and Frida, and you know what? They'll lay hands on you and they'll die. But you know, what if they lived? That's a possibility, you know. They could live. What then? Wouldn't that be exciting to lay your hands on somebody that's on his way out and speak healing and wholeness and health to them, and they live? One lady said, I read about that this week, said, how can I ever die if all I get is healing? You know, God can just take your spirit and go home. You don't have to die sick. So, you know, go there and be a missionary. We need to know what we have, first of all. Peter knew what he had. You know, he'd just been baptized in the Holy Ghost not that long ago. It totally changed his personality. And he went to the gate, a beautiful gate, going into the temple. And there was a lame man laying there. And he was begging. Peter walks up to him and he says, silver and gold, I don't have. But what I do have, I give to you. He better knew what he had. He knew what he had. He had the power of God just sizzling inside of him. We can have that same power operating in us. Don't put a damper on it. You know, be a pressure cooker. Man, that if you take that little, whoo, there it goes. God's power just radiating from you. That's what we're called to do. Luke 1:46, Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. You know what magnifies does? It makes bigger. A lot of times we make our problems big and God small. We need to magnify God. We need to magnify his word, which is Jesus. Then we will see the glory of God. We are to go in power and demonstration of the gospel. Remember the message I preached, a verse in there, and I didn't look it up. But I often say it, I'm going. I'm going in the power of the Lord my God. I'm going. I don't care what you do, but I'm going. Are you going? I'm going in the power of the Lord my God. Psalm 23 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We have enemies. That's not heaven he's talking about. That's right down here. We have that table set. Come and dine. He has prepared that table with all the good things on it. And he says, come and dine. Come and eat. Where am I? Is that clock working or not? I'm okay. Come and dine. Come and eat. Come and partake. Because I have prepared a meal for you. But you need to take it. You need to eat it. You need to devour it. You need to have it. But it's in the presence of our enemies. So what happens? The deceiver comes up behind you. Don't you ever think that. You're not good enough to have it. You know, you yelled at your wife this morning, or you yelled at your husband or at your kids. You kicked the cat. You shot the dog. Whatever you did, you can't possibly have that today. Yes, you can. Because it says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. He has prepared a table for you. Will you partake? Will you take of that table of goodness that he has for you? And will you come and dine? Matthew 7, verse 13 said, first of all, God says, let God be true and every man a liar. You know, the devil doesn't come with horns and tail and look grotesque. He comes through people. Sometimes people you have great respect for. And you have to differentiate. And that doesn't mean they're demon-possessed. It just means that sometimes we say the wrong thing. We don't gift correct. You have to make sure that the information you get is from God and not from the enemy, because he'll use people to discourage you. He'll cause people to put fear in you. But I know you trust God. But you know, you got to be careful with that. What if it doesn't work? It says he wants to destroy our hope, because faith gives substance to hope. If we have no hope, there's nothing. You say, why do some people die? It's because they have lost hope. When somebody is struggling with something for a long time, it's easy to lose our hope. Matthew 7, 13 to 14 says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it. I heard that message preached one time on that verse, and it's always stuck with me. That word narrow means contrary to natural human reasoning. The way we walk by faith goes against the stream. It's a narrow way. People think you're nuts, but it's the way to life. Life here and eternal life. Galatians, oh, I forgot a piece. I got to bring this in. I missed the whole page. Yeah. Can I just back up a little bit? It's still early anyway. Joshua 1:8, what can you see? What can you see? That's the difficult thing. Can you see yourself whole? Can you see yourself prosperous? Can you see yourself without condemnation? He said to Abraham in Genesis 15, verse 2, but Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? What he saw was himself going childless. Then God brought him outside and said, look now towards the heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them, and said to him, so shall your descendants be. He gave him something visually to see. Can you see yourself? Well, important what you see. Joshua 1 verse 8. I need to go to... it says, but verse 8, that the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. You observe to do it. You see yourself doing it. You see yourself healed. You see, seeing is very important. You need to see what God has said. I read a little piece. I'm going to read it to you. You always can tell if a person's believing is right or wrong by what he says. If his confession is wrong, his believing is wrong. If his believing is wrong, his thinking is wrong. If his thinking is wrong, it's because his mind has not been renewed with the Word of God. So this is where we start. We renew our mind. Your body will say, well, I'm too busy today. I can't do that. Hey, you know what? You get something really serious in your life, in your body. You know what? It's amazing how soon you find the time to do what's right. You know? If you do it all the time, God says in 3 John 2nd verse, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Health, not healing, health. He wants us to walk in health. You know that Jesus, don't say that he never was, sickness didn't try. They couldn't attach itself because he was so full of the Word of God. No stories about John G. Lake going to Africa, and they had the Black Plague there, and they couldn't figure out why he wasn't getting it, ministering to those people. He put his hand under, and they put the germs on it, and those germs would die on him because of the Word of God that was on him. That's the way we can be. That's the challenge I put in front of you. We can know the Word of God, and... the confession of your lips that has grown out of faith in your heart will defeat the devil. With your mouth, you are either going to give God dominion over you or you're going to give Satan dominion over you. What is it going to be? We have a choice. We can do something. We can change it. Passion for God and passion for God and compassion for men is what we need. You know, I felt that every time when the Lord leads me to pray for someone, this strong compassion comes on me, and I love them very much. That is Jesus in me. That's not my own love, because, you know, I'm really not such a terribly loving person. But Jesus' love comes out in compassion. And so he wants us to have passion for God and a compassion for men. Zeal is a never-quitting attitude. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how you feel. God wants to touch you. This morning, we're going to open the altars. I'm going to ask Bob to come and pray. And we're going to believe God with you. We're going to speak to the... We're not going to beg God for healing. We're not going to beg God for provision. We're going to declare it so in Jesus' name. Because Jesus has already accomplished everything. We're going to pull up to the table. And we're going to help you receive what the Word of God has for you. And then you will be... Then you have to start getting in the Word and start declaring what the Word of God says about you instead of being moved by your feelings, by your emotions, by everything you feel in your body. Because God is faithful. He does not lie. Our feelings lie. Our circumstances lie. But God does not lie. So if I can get the music team up and...